Well, stocks jumped again this morning after the Trump administration said there's been progress in trade talks with China. A whiff of good news, perhaps, for the cheese industry, which is currently dealing with a 1.4 billion pound surplus of cheese. Enough cheddar, American and Swiss, sitting in cold storage across the U.S. to form a wheel of cheese the size of the U.S. Capitol building. And it's in part because Mexico and China aren't buying it up. Let's bring in Andrew Novakovich, professor of agricultural economics at Cornell. Andrew, welcome.
Thank you.
And this is the biggest cheese surplus the U.S. has seen since the government started tracking this a century ago, 16% larger than the 2016 surplus when the government offered to buy up $20 million worth of excess cheese. How did we get here?
Well, as always, it's a combination of things. Part of it is just the amount of milk being produced on farms. Part of it is changes in the domestic use of that milk. Of course, cheese is the single largest category of usage, but part of it is trade, or more specifically, export markets, which is mostly a self-inflicted wound, but also one that's had some gray clouds on the horizon for a couple of years.
You're talking about the trade war, and cheese shipments are down 10% to Mexico and 63% to China as of September.
And particularly important is Mexico is far and away our biggest customer. And of course, one of the few foreign customers we can serve with a truck instead of with a boat. And so that disruption has been particularly difficult for the cheese industry. And Mexicans are great consumers of cheese.
What about Americans? Are they changing their habits? And is that helping to lead to this surplus?
Well, there's a up and down on the cheese story for what we're doing in the U.S. The single largest type of cheese produced and consumed in the U.S. is mozzarella or pizza cheese. And that continues to roll right along. Sales are strong. People are still eating the kind of food that sort of cheese goes on top of. What has changed and changed fairly noticeably and fairly recently is people are turning away from processed cheese, the kind of cheese that usually gets melted on a cheeseburger or other sandwich in a quick serve or fast casual type restaurant, and they're upgrading to other types of cheese. But there's a lot of volume of that so-called processed cheese that's been lost as people are switching around. And it's also the case that we're seeing increased sales of kind of more exotic, specialty, European-style cheeses. Mm-hmm. Some of those are made in the U.S., so a lot of them aren't. And typically, when you're substituting an expensive cheese for an inexpensive cheese, you won't buy as much. And so there's a lot of moving parts in that whole cheese thing. But sort of on net, sales are below trend.
How are cheesemakers adapting to those changes in what Americans are interested in eating?
Well, they're still learning how to adapt. The move towards the more exotic specialty type cheeses has been happening now for a few years. And so there's been more people expanding into that area. But as you might imagine, it's a little trickier making those cheeses. And a very large commercial firm that's set up to put out large volumes of a commodity type cheese doesn't easily get into saying, well, how about we make some Camembert? And so that transition has been ongoing, but it's a little on the slow side.
And as somebody who's studied the American dairy industry for some time, what's the long-term solution here?
Well, it's the same as it is for everything else. If you've got too much of something, the price has to go down until consumption rises because it's a good deal and production goes down because it's not. And we've been looking at price adjustments, low-level price adjustments, for 3 or 4 years. And a lot of farmers would say, well, make it stop. But the fact of the matter is we're still pushing out a little bit more milk than we know what to do with. And really, it's not a big number. But until those two numbers get reconciled, we're going to continue to see these low prices. If we could get ourselves back in a better trade situation, that would help quite a bit. I mean, we would like to have as much of the help be on the demand side as we can.
What's your favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Colby.
Okay, good. If I want a fancy cheese, I'll go with a Humboldt Fog. I think that's a really good one. But if I'm just having, you know, a sandwich, I'm a Pepper Jack guy.
Oh, Pepper Jack. Actually, you want to try, maybe you've tried it, you want to try a really nice Italian-style cheese. There's a company in Wisconsin owned by a guy by the name of Jim Sartori. It goes under the Sartori label. He's got several versions, but it's called Belvitano. It's a variation of Parmigiano Reggiano. Mm. I think that's probably the best cheese made in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of really great cheeses, but that one is amazing.
And now we're all hungry. Andrew Novakovich, professor of agricultural economics at Cornell University, thank you.
You're welcome.
I know you're thinking, a cheese wheel the size of the Capitol?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.